You probably already know that salespeople are a different beast, right? There are specific ways to lead and motivate us as salespeople, especially as yourself, as a sales leader, a sales manager, or even the business owner yourself. And today we're going to be talking about an expert who knows all about how to lead and motivate sales teams because he comes from years and years of experience in doing so in the telecommunications industry, as well as with his own company, Callproof. Today we're going to be talking to Robert Hartline, and I'm going to introduce you to him in a second, but you know the fee for the show. When you take away a piece of value, a piece of knowledge or insight, or even a different way of thinking, or maybe we made you smile, maybe we made you laugh, share this show with one person who could use it. Share it with another sales manager, sales leader, or business owner. Or if you're thinking about integrating a sales team into your business, which you might have that thought in your mind after we talk about Callproof today, then share this with someone else who can get value from it. So without further ado, let's talk to our expert today in the world of sales, leadership, training, and sales teams in general, Mr. Robert Hartline. And for those who don't know Robert, Robert went from selling cell phones from the trunk of his car in college in 1994 in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, to building a chain of 68 wireless stores called Absolute Wireless in 1998. In December of 2020, Robert sold his wireless stores and is now focused on leading Callproof, an app for outside salespeople, which he started 10 years ago. Robert enjoys teaching other entrepreneurs how to manage the energy of sales staff and sales leadership. Very important. When Robert isn't working, he is spending time with his wife and two young boys in Nashville or traveling to his home in Costa Rica. Robert, it's a pleasure to have you here, my friend.
Thank you, Brandon. That was a great intro. That was super fancy as well. So I'm excited to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. So obviously right now you're in Nashville and not Costa Rica, right?
That's right. That's right. Unfortunately, the schools aren't where they need to be right now, but I love Nashville. This is my home.
Got it. So you travel there when school's not in session.
Absolutely. As soon as school gets out, we are always on a Southwest flight back to Costa Rica. We're near the beach. We have lots of great friends there. The sun is amazing. If you haven't done it, you got to come see it.
Yeah, I've never been there, but I want to check it out at some point. I'm fascinated by your long journey of sales, and I'm fascinated by your story of you know, owning your business in the wireless space and then selling it after 22 years. And obviously you started working on Callproof while you were with them. So can you give us like your background and the way that you explain your story in sales just to tell everyone who you are?
Yeah. I mean, to make it simple, I mean, I was a super shy guy. I grew up in Germany. I for whatever reason, I thought I wanted to be in the music business. And once I got to school, I realized that I wanted to be in Nashville, really. But I didn't really play guitar. I'm not a really giant country music fan, so I really didn't fit. And I had spent all of my college money the first semester in college, and I just needed a part-time job. And I answered a classified ad selling phones door to door. And I was terrified at the prospect of doing it. But guess what? They told me that I was going to get paid for the first week of training. I was like, nice. Jack, and it was $300. I was like, I don't know why in my head I thought $300 was a lot of money at the time, but it was for me. And I got really lucky, Brandon, because, you know, the training was very well done. And I just walk up to the door and I knock on the door and I'd greet and say, "Hi, my name is Robert. I'm with a company called Telego, and we have a cordless phone at your house and a cell phone while you're away. It's $19.99 a month and 25 cents a minute." And I did that conversation over and over for about a week with a very limited amount of success until I met this woman who just brought me in. Come on over here and have some sweet tea. And next thing you know, she's feeding me. She's bringing her friends and family over to the house. And it was like, we seriously had this Telego party. And I don't know. You know, I don't know about you, Brandon, but when you close a sale, even a minuscule sale, what happens to that dopamine hitting your brain? You get fed some drugs, man. It's like you get hit and you're like, man, this feels good. And that is really probably what got me excited about selling.
Sales is beautiful, man. I mean, I was talking to a couple salespeople the other day, and they were talking about, you know, when we sold accessories at Cellular Sales, we would make like, you know, $10 to $15 for selling a car charger at times, which is awesome. But some people would be like, oh, you know, during the time I was selling that, I could have been selling something different. And I'm like, listen, man, like every dollar matters. And like you just said, no matter how minuscule that sale might be, a sale is a sale. And it's powerful, not just because you made a sale, it's powerful because you've built up momentum. And that momentum is a very powerful thing. And I've never done door-to-door sales, but I can only imagine it's the same, if not amplified. I mean, what was one of the top lessons that you've learned during your time doing door-to-door sales? How long did you do that?
I got real lucky in the fact that I discovered something. Number one, I was in college. I wanted to party. I was in a fraternity. I wanted to have some fun. But they wanted us to do all the work in the evenings, because that's when people were home, right? And on the weekends. Well, I don't want to do that. I wanted to have some fun with my friends. And door to door, don't get me wrong, you can make a lot of money in door to door. But here's the thing. If you're knocking on someone's door at their house, they may or may not be there. Mm. Guess what I know? I know that businesses are open, usually from 8 to 5 o'clock. And there's always somebody there. There's always an audience. And so I started calling into businesses. I'd open up a door in a business and I would do my spiel. And sometimes I'd get lucky. Next thing I know, I'm in the break room and I got an audience of 20 people. Mm-hmm. What would you rather do, be in a single family home with a family or an audience? And B2B is like really what got me excited about selling.
It's so interesting how you went from door to door. You started talking to businesses instead. It sounds like, I mean, that's outside the box thinking too at the same time. But I'm sure that when you first started doing that, there was that fear, because now you're going from talking to one person to two people to 15 people to 20 people. And now you're developing different skills that you might not have been developing at first. I'm curious. I mean, just in general throughout your journey, I'm curious if this one thing changed, but what motivated you as a salesperson who then went into B2B sales, who then opened your own stores? Has your motivation changed, and what was it for you at the beginning?
You know, there's a sensation that you get when you're in sales and you are talking to strangers. What is that sensation? Well, number one, it's sweating, right? You're nervous, a little bit of anxiety. And then when you face that fear, it's awfully intoxicating when you get someone to tell you yes. And I tell salespeople all the time, and we have this hole in our face that can create wealth, but you got to use it. You got to find people that are near you to hear you. So get in front of people. Even if you have marbles in your mouth, you can sell. It's just having some drive and energy that you seek when you're talking to strangers. And when you get that opportunity to have a presentation with someone, if you're well-disciplined, you're well put together, you're listening with your ears and you're offering value, but you also have some energy, it is fun.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like that line, find people near you to hear you. It's so true. I mean, I remember being in training, and one of the first things you'll learn is the key to success here is very simple. If you're not currently in front of a prospect, if you're not currently in front of someone that you can talk to, then your only job is to get in front of someone that you can talk to. A very simple philosophy that makes all the difference.
And you know what helps though too? I mean, you know, you and I were selling cell phones. Okay, who's not going to buy one or doesn't mm-hmm. have one or ready to get another one? I mean, I used to sell accessories out of my trunk of my car, and I did it in the day too, to add to this, when you could do cell phone cloning. And that was mind boggling, because what that meant was, you know, hardly anybody at the time in 94 had a phone, but a doctor, an attorney, you know, some business person of importance, right? That's who had a phone. Nobody had two phones in the house. That was like, didn't even happen. But back in the day, you could clone someone's ESN, reprogram a Motorola 550 flip or a Motorola 8000 to a laptop, and they could have two phones for the price of one. Now, wow. The challenge was You had one number, right? And so if the wife and the husband, they had this phone, they could make calls. But if the phone rang, you know, you don't know who you were going to get. Eventually, the carrier discovered how to prevent cell phone cloning. Mm. But I made a lot of money cloning phones for people and selling accessories. So, but it was fun. I mean, everyone has a need for that communication tool. And I remember back in the day when I sold it, I was having to sell safety and security. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd have to sell you on the idea. What happens if you were left the house and there was an accident and your wife didn't have, I mean, I would have to sell the safety and security aspect. If I were to take your phone away today, you would hunt me down and do something very horrible to me. It's that important. But I spent 20 something years trying to convince people why they needed it. We don't got to convince them anymore.
Because now they just come in for it. It's a necessity now more than something that you might want. I remember when I was 15, like that's when I got my first smartphone, and I only got it because I needed it. And it was an iPhone 3G from AT&T, and I needed to call my parents after work. But now you see kids, the average age right now to have a cell phone, this might blow people's mind, is 7 years old to have not just a flip phone, to have a smartphone that can go anywhere online, that can do anything, that can document everything. I mean, the world, it's just fascinating how much our world has changed in the past 20 years. It's absolutely mind-blowing. What I wanted to ask you was, when you started selling door-to-door, then you transitioned to B2B, how did you then transition to owning your own locations? What did that transition look like for you now moving into being a business owner?
Well, so I transitioned when really Nextel came into Nashville, Tennessee, and I learned about the product, which is a push to talk, release to listen, you know, half duplex phone, which in theory, when you think about it and hear about it, you're like, well, that's pretty stupid. Why don't you just make a phone call? And I got sold on the idea that businesses wanted to communicate fast. And when Nextel came into town, I left Cellular One to sell this push to talk product. And as I sold it to businesses, I found the value in the speed of communication. You know, a regular phone call, you know, here we're in Nashville, Tennessee. What happens when a phone call happens? I answer the phone. How's mom and them? How you been? You know, you got this long greeting of 3 minutes to ask one question, right? Well, with push to talk, you could press the button. Hey, do we have those flippity script in inventory? Yes, no, maybe. So communication is over with, fast communication. So I started selling Nextel for the corporation when they were here in 97, and then started my own store and kind of grew up from then. And then Sprint acquired Nextel and then kind of scaled that way, you know, one store at a time and then acquiring other businesses. It's definitely been fun. I had a lot of fun doing the cell phone game for sure.
Yeah, and you're a young guy now, like obviously with more years and experience and wisdom, but in the grand scheme of things, you're very young, right? If you go back 23 years now, you're even younger, right? I'm guessing, what were you in your late 20s when you started your business?
I was like 24 when I started. And what's, you know, what's crazy about that, you know, when I was a little boy, I didn't play around with little cell phone stores. You know, I didn't imagine ever being in that. And it's kind of a lesson for all of us to think about what we are going to do, because generally I see a lot of young people kind of trying different things. And I think that's great. But sometimes if you just stay steady with something and stay committed and, you know, find the right people that can mentor you or help you grow and learn. You know, there's a lot of opportunities. You know, in hindsight, I don't have a ton of regrets other than the fact that, man, I wonder if I could have been good at other things, right?
I think you got pretty damn good at one thing, which like you just said, in a world full of distractions, especially now, it's you hear everyone who is very successful in what they do say, you just got to focus on one thing for 20 years. Like you've done yourself, and now you've got Call Proof, which I want to talk about. But you transitioned from selling to people to selling to businesses, and now you're owning a business, and now you're bringing on other salespeople, and you're having to learn all these other skills like recruiting and hiring and sales training and and leadership. So what did the transition look like for you moving into being a business owner, and how did you go about building your own sales team? What did that look like?
Well, for me, I was in it, you know, soup to nuts. I mean, I was opening the store, ordering the inventory, doing the accounting, and it was almost 10 years in where I was like, holy shit, this is maddening to be in this so deep. And I got introduced to a book called E-Myth. Lots of people have read it. It's a great founder story. Like, read that book. It's a very basic understanding on how to scale and systematize your business. And then I got involved in a lot of mastermind groups and started just learning things. And, you know, a lot of it is just experience along the way. I always try to lead the way I would want to be led. All we do as sales leaders is manage the energy. We don't manage people. Once you think that you are managing people, you have failed. And the biggest challenge to leading salespeople is managing your energy. Wow. Because your energy is what dictates what happens with the team. The big challenge with that is, and I didn't really understand it. And I have this book here that I tell everyone about all the time, Jack Daly. It's called Hyper Sales Growth. That business kind of transformed the way I think about sales leadership, because what he teaches in that book is that we as owners of our businesses are likely the worst sales managers in our own businesses. Because what happens is, as an owner of a business and you're managing your own energy, think about how your business could impact your energy. So if I'm leading a sales team, and let's say, man, we're not having a great month and sales are down and I got to make payroll this Friday. Think about this. What is your energy like with your team if you're leading with a sense of scarcity? When you have that scarcity tingle, right? You're like, guys, we got to sell. You know, you're not going to say, I got to make payroll next week, and I better have some business. So you give an undue amount of pressure for people to absorb. And I'll tell you, I will absolutely raise my hand and say that I've made a plenty of those mistakes in my day. In leadership, and what Jack Daly teaches in his book is you really got to find someone else to lead the sales team, because you can't be an owner and the VP of sales at the same time. You really have to separate those two.
What's up, Be Better family? It's Brandon Eastman here. And as a thank you for tuning in to the Be Better broadcast, I want to give you a very special gift. For a limited time, you can get a free digital copy of my book titled Be Extraordinary, Your Guide to Self-Mastery. This book is packed with insights and actionable steps that will help you to unlock your fullest potential in the five key areas of your life. But that's not all. Along with the book, I also want to give you the audiobook version absolutely free. Imagine having the power to transform your life right at your fingertips and in your ears anytime, anywhere. Go grab your copy at bebetterindustries.com/book. You'll also find the link in the episode show notes. Go and grab your copy and join me in making a positive impact on the world. Now back to the show. So it's important to hire somebody whose only role is to lead that sales team and manage people's energy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Someone like a sales team leader.
Yeah. Someone like a sales team leader, but someone that is not going to be distracted by the nuances in the business.
Got it. Because that's your owner.
There's just, yeah. I mean, I also dealt with, you know this, Brandon, in the wireless business, there is a ton of fraud. A ton of fraud. You have customer committing fraud. You have organized crime committing fraud. You have employees committing fraud. You have very important employees committing fraud. And when you have all those kind of negative things, it really impacts the way you lead. And so one of the things that I had learned with that is just really move yourself out of the sales management game as quick as you can when you're starting your business so someone else can manage differently.
So what do you do then? Because that's the first time that I've heard someone say in the way that you said it, you're not managing people, you're managing people's energy. And the number one way to do that is to manage your own energy. What are some specific ways through doing this for so long that you specifically manage your energy so that it trickles down to them?
Well, number one, we are caught up in a universal algorithm of social media and where we put our attention. So if you are in a news feed of negativity, that is a one big component that you have the ability to adjust. If you see someone that every other post is negative, why, woe is me, or, you know, the president did this, or this person did that, or, you know, nobody can get ahead, like, unfollow those people. And on YouTube, it's the same thing. You can get caught up in an algorithm that's not going to serve you. And your energy starts with the morning. I woke up this morning at 5 a.m. I had a wonderful workout at 5:30 with my wife in the basement. And I'm preparing my day. My energy is important for this call today. Like, I want to have the energy there. And that means I have to have some output of energy to be ready to be clear-minded and ready to go. Often when I talk to new hires, I would have conversations about this energy before you come into your to the store for the day, yes. Right? And that meant that, what'd you listen to on the way into work? You know, what is getting you fired up? Because when I want you clocked in, I want you bought in and excited and greeting customers and having like super amount of energy. And that means you have to kind of dictate what your routine in the morning should be about. If you got a negative spouse, then you got to tell them, hey, Susie, listen, your negative conversation before I start work is going to affect your checking account. If you want to hit me with bad news, guess what? Let's do it at 5 o'clock. It's not going to hurt my paycheck because I can sleep on it in the morning, hit it and win it, right?
Yes.
And so, and we live in a world right now, you can go on YouTube and you can literally get fired up by listening to a ton of people that professionally fire people up. You don't got to go to a seminar. You just listen to a couple of YouTube videos or good podcasts to kind of get you jazzed up.
Who were some of those people for you?
My favorite, John Rowan.
John Rowan.
Yeah. He's passed away. He passed away like 15 years ago, maybe. But you know, all the greats, that you can find a little bit of something out of each one of those to take with you in your day. And just, you know, think about it like this. If you controlled your feed of positivity and making sure that you're not letting negative news cycles affect your pocket, because that's what it does. I mean, listen, when you're listening to something negative, understand this, that there's a minion in your checking account, just taking your money, just like putting it in a bag and just ready to cart it off.
Yep.
And you're like, next thing you know, you wake up and you're like, well, I can't figure out these finances. Your finances are completely connected to your energy.
It's so true. And I am so thankful that you're bringing this up, because I talk to a lot of people on this show about sales. Like, we're in the sales category of podcasts, right? And it's all about techniques. And, you know, we've had some incredible guests come on to talk about how selling is service and focusing on the other person and listening. And that's all so important. But what about you, right? How do you care for you? How do you care for your emotional state? I remember when I was 21, I was doing very well in sales. I was one of the top earners, earning six figures selling cell phones, right? You understand that world. You come from that world. But I was 60 pounds overweight. I was extremely negative. And it didn't affect my paycheck necessarily, because I've always been a natural salesperson, but it affected my relationships with the people I work with. It affected my relationships with my leadership and even my customers, right? People can feel energy. We give off energy. We are beings of energy. And one of the first things I did to make progress and to change my situation was something that you just did twice on the show already, and you showed the book, that you read books, right? You just showed the E-Myth. You just talked about hyper sales growth. Like, we've been talking for 20 minutes and you've already recommended two books, right? It's very clear to see why you're such high energy, even aside from waking up early and working out, because that's super important. But what are you feeding your mind with every single day? One of the first things I did was I started reading about personal growth. I never read nonfiction before. I started to listen to tapes, like you just said, on the way to work, from Tony Robbins and Jim Rohn. Those were my two guys, Tony Robbins and Jim Rohn. And I would get to work and I'd even carpool with people and I'd be like, hey, just so you know, I'll drive you. You don't have to pay me for gas or anything. I just like your company, but I'm going to be listening to this and I just hope you're okay with that. And they said, okay, a little bit different, but that's fine. We would both get to our shift and make $300-$400 that day. Without a doubt. It's what you feed your mind with is so important.
Yes, absolutely. And it's funny how when you start introducing someone to this world that exists, like, and they're like, wait a minute. Everybody told me that I can't do this or that because I grew up in a shitty part of town. Mm. And, you know, and when they start realizing that it's all up to them, the opportunities is just right there. And, you know, I totally messed up saying Jim Rohn, but I said John Rohn. Now I
look back, so you meant Jim Rohn.
Jim Rohn. Yeah.
Oh, yes, my God. Yes. Awesome.
And I've turned so many people on to him and there's so many more that will connect, but here's the thing, depending on who you are, there are some people that you're going to hear that will make the switch connect for you. You may hear a Tony Robbins go, you know, he's not my cup of tea. Oh, that's great. But there's somebody for you. Yeah. There's somebody for you that you could just get committed to listening to their content on the daily, especially before you start your selling day.
Absolutely. And that theme of this whole conversation of, you're not managing and motivating people. You're managing and motivating their energy, not by telling them their energy should be different, but by focusing on you, taking care of you, because it all trickles down from the top. Awesome. Let's talk about your transition to now beginning Call Proof. So you read the E-Myth, you're starting to understand and systematize the business, and you're joining these masterminds, you're learning all these things. When does Call Proof come into play? And can you tell us about Call Proof?
Yeah, so I suffered a very similar thing that many people suffer from when they start a business, because this is what generally happens. You start a business because you're the sales guy, you're the best at it, right? You have a lot of customers, you start a business, next thing you know, you're not just serving a customer by supplying them something you're selling. You're also making the product and invoicing the product and servicing the product. That leaves no time for selling. And so what they end up doing is they hire a salesperson, just like I did. I'd hire a salesperson to get them trained and ready to go. This is how you sell phones. Good luck. Good selling. Maybe the guy was a great retail salesperson, but going to B2B is completely different. We all know this. It's a different game when you're going into a business that's not coming to you, right? And so what I would find is I'd do all this training and 2 months later, I'm like, dude, I'd sell 3 phones a day if I was hitting the streets right. And you've sold 0. What is going on? And so I discovered that, man, what if there was an app that would automatically log calls, emails, and face-to-face visits of your clients and prospects in a database? And so we built an app 10 years ago that did exactly that. And so today, I mean, it does a lot more, but today we have people that come to Call Proof. They have a business to sell to B2B. And here's the most, it's not a secret, but for some reason, it's a secret to people because they think there's some mysterious, magical lead generation software that's just going to give them all the business in the world. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's really, there is no easy way. Call Proof has 26 million businesses loaded into the system. And if you sell to, I don't know, insurance agents, right? You click one little button in Call Proof, says insurance agents, and it basically shows where they are. You create a route, and then you just walk in. You pull on the door. Hey, I sell auto glass. Next time someone comes in with a busted windshield, I would love your referral. Those conversations to be had by a field salesperson that's seeing 25 people a day, you are going to find so much business if you have some tenacity and some discipline. And you use the app to log those visits to help remind you to do the follow-up. Anytime you call them or email them, it's now logged into the database. So if you had a list of 100 people that you want to maintain a solid relationship with, you're going to be able to manage that process with your field team. And then you're going to start to understand that, holy cow, I need to hire some more salespeople because I built the model and I have the list. And so that's why I built it. And we used it in our own organization, not only for the field sales team, but we use it for the retail team, because guess what happens in retail? You got downtime.
Yeah.
You may have hours and hours of downtime. And I taught my team, when you got downtime, listen, if you make 10 calls to people that you used to do business with, or you did business with 10 months ago, 10 calls speaking to 10 people will net you 2 opportunities, no doubt. And so the opportunity for people to find new business is there. Just go do the work.
What you're doing is, the reality is, salespeople, most of them are not interested in the operational things after they have the conversation. They just want to go there, have the conversation. And if they remember to follow up, great. They might use some kind of, you know, wanky janky calendar thing to keep track, but they never follow up. Obviously, the most important part. The greatest salespeople that I found are the ones who generally don't want to do all that back end stuff. And they'll talk to 10 people. They'll register it all themselves incorrectly, wrong phone numbers, wrong follow up dates. This really allows that person to talk to 25 people that day, to really practice their strengths, which is talking to people, assessing the needs, delivering the solution, not necessarily going back on their tablet later on to mark everything that happened during that visit. So this sounds like a total time saver for those individuals, as well as a revenue booster for businesses who it makes sense for.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, it's funny because this is what typically happens. Someone will hear our story. They come sign up with the app, and I'll have an owner says, "Hey, I you're speaking to me." Right. And so I bring them aboard. We get them on a training. Let's say they have 10 people, almost like clockwork. I'll do the training with 10 people, and in about 2 weeks, 2 of those salespeople are no longer with the company because our tool will basically tell you whether or not they're doing the work.
Wow.
Now the owner of the company is like, well, I knew they weren't selling because they weren't selling and I didn't have any sales to justify their salary. But the beauty of the product is the fact that they can go, wow, what if I replace those 2 people with 2 people that actually want to do some selling? And then they start realizing that, holy cow, there are markets that I am not in that I just need to hire someone to do this process and rinse and repeat. And that's how people scale. It's like you figure out something that's working, develop the system and process to make sure it's happening everywhere you do it. And that's how you scale. And I use our software in 2016 to scale from 10 million in sales to nearly 100 million in sales in 3 years. By systematizing, having a program, and training the people in a certain way, and having a process just helps.
I think it's cool how you use this in your own business. Like you used it while you were in the wireless world for 10 years while you were in that world. And now that's what you do. You're completely focused on CallProof. I want to ask you who it's for, but I'm curious, how does CallProof help to manage the salesperson's energy? What's implemented there in order to help them with that?
Well, I will tell you, like anything, you know, it is just a tool. If I have an owner that looks at CallProof and they go, oh, you know, I'm going to catch them not doing something, and this is a stick. Oh my gosh, you're going to fail. Don't even sign up. I don't want your business. Because really, to be honest with you, my customer is not the person with the credit card, the owner that is buying my product for their team. My real customer is a salesperson, because that salesperson not only is going to need to use it and grow his own personal income, but he will go somewhere else one day. And when he goes to that new place, that's how we get our new referral business, because they go to the new business and they go, hey, I like this product. I was able to do this with the product. I mean, one of the things that we saw for a lot of salespeople is the routing of visits. And so if you were going to see 25 people on a list, generally what salespeople did for years and years, they'd pull up, you know, Google Maps, and they kind of map out their day, and it was kind of a pain in the ass, and they did a terrible job of it. But when you use the app and use the routing, and it literally says go here, and it's an efficient route, so you see a lot more people in your day. So you can get a lot more selling done than the average bear. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. And, you know, it's our focus on the salesperson, not the owner. And I have to teach owners to manage their energy, because if they look at the database and they go, well, Johnny hasn't done any sales calls yet. It's 12 o'clock. I'm going to call him up and beat him up. It ain't going to work.
Yep.
It ain't going to work. That is not the way you motivate. You motivate people by getting them to realize their opportunities and make their own decisions, not through force. You can't force people to change. You can inspire people and can get people reignited. But once you start the whole, if you don't do this, then I'll do that, and then it just is a toxic way to lead a team.
I completely agree. And I think the just from experience, the best way in order to help these people on your team make these changes is, number one, proximity with you. Only if you're making these changes and focusing on this personal growth in yourself at the same time. If you're constantly someone who is focused on your energy, who is doing one thing each day to make further progress in whatever area that looks like to boost your energy, it's going to rub off on every single person that you encounter that day, whether it's your sales team, another customer, your husband, your wife, when you get home. That's how we make a difference, by focusing on us. And I like how you said this is a tool. It's a powerful tool. But you as the sales leader, you as the sales manager, the team leader, whatever you are, it's still up to you to manage your own energy so that you can manage the energy of those people who are out there in the field doing their thing.
Absolutely.
So is this for a specific industry? What industries do you love to talk to implement this app, or is it in many different ones?
Well, generally, our customer base are field salespeople that are selling B2B. We're not B2C. We're not roofers calling on individual houses or selling AT&T at someone's neighborhood. That's just not our cup of tea. We have a lot of industrial type salespeople that can't get to their core audience any other way. I mean, if you're selling janitorial supplies to high schools, you have to go to high schools and talk to someone in a janitorial department. Mm. And it's like, it's old school selling in most of these types of customers. And there are, you know, when you have a very unique product, you can't just reach everyone through a digital marketing strategy. Yes, there are some good strategies there, but often the buyers are not on those systems. And it's a personal relationship that has to be developed. And the way you build personal relationships is through volumes of conversations over time, and you build some trust. And then when the supplier they're currently using makes a mistake, then you're right there at the opportunity to take over that opportunity.
Very cool. So this is for sales teams where people are out in the field, they're selling B2B, they want to improve efficiency, they want to help manage their team's energy more by not wasting it on these mindless tasks that CallProof will do for them. It sounds like an incredible product. Is there a specific size business that CallProof works best with?
Generally we do well with people with 20 plus salespeople. It's kind of our sweet spot, but we have a lot of people who are starting their first, you know, the first journey with a salesperson. Mm. And generally what makes it unique in the way we serve our clients is basically when we get someone signed up, we go through a process to onboard them and show them the features that really mean something to their industry. We do a recorded training call with the sales team, which we give them a recorded link. And whenever they add someone new to the team, they just watch that presentation of exactly how CallProof is for their business. And it makes it easier for them to start scaling, adding more opportunities for their sales team to start learning and growing the team.
That's awesome. And I think what they'll find is that they'll be hiring even more salespeople because they notice the efficiency they're getting, the improved revenue, everything else that's coming in after they start implementing this. It's a very unique product. It really is. It's like, it's you know, it sounds like there's some aspects of a traditional CRM, but I mean, on steroids. I mean, when you're in the area at the business, it literally shows all the other businesses around you that you can stop into and talk to them as well. So it's almost, in a sense, a lead generator. Am I right in saying
that? Oh yeah. You know, what is often funny to me is when I talk to sales teams and they're like, oh, we're struggling in sales, da da da. And say, well, does the sales team have a list of people they should be talking to? Well, you know, they're supposed to be calling on restaurants. Well, that's not very clear to a salesperson exactly what restaurants they should be calling. What size restaurant? Mexican's restaurants or American restaurants or Chinese restaurant? What specifically are you best suited at? And so when they come to us, they often don't even have a list, and we show them, hey, listen, there's a list already loaded based on size of business, revenue of business. And you can just click a little button, add this to the database very quickly, and then watch the visits happen. And then as you build your team and you talk about your scorecard once a week, talk about what did you do last week, what you're going to do this week. And by having that, you know, that the data right in front of them, where, listen, if you didn't have a very productive week, everyone should know about it. Now, I could say the words, well, so I can hold you accountable. No, but I would rather hold yourself accountable, because I can get you to make better decisions when you are able to hold yourself accountable and not me. If I'm starting to hold you accountable, I have lost the leadership mission. I have made some mistakes along the way where I didn't and was not able to get you to see your own opportunities.
Well said. Yeah, absolutely. You've been focused on CallProof now for almost 2 years, fully focused on CallProof ever, you know, since selling out of the wireless industry. Obviously, CallProof has grown a lot in the past 10 years. Where do you see CallProof going, and what is your vision for the future?
Well, you know, we are doing lots of things in the technology to help individual salespeople. One of the things we are doing is, you know, a lot of conversations with your customers happen through your phone, and documenting those calls to happen within your device is really important. That's why we'll be launching here soon the ability to have custom numbers that calls from your clients and prospects are automatically recorded. You can automate some items like templated text messaging and able to do lots of different things by using telephony with the conversations. And often a customer will call us and they tell us a problem with someone they had in shipping or someone in customer support or some challenge. You'll be able to click a little button and forward that recording to someone in the organization who could solve that and hear that same challenge and help overcome that. But we're constantly looking at ways to maximize the time that the team has in the field. And so a lot of it is just building new product, making the product faster and easier to use is where I spend most of my energy with the product.
I love that. It sounds like you've got the next Salesforce here, man.
I don't know, but I'm having fun.
And that's what matters most. You're making a difference. You're having fun. You're creating impact. I know there's a lot of people listening who are saying, you know, I have a team of salespeople in the field. I want to help them be more efficient. I want to help them really focus on their strengths. And I want to take a look into CallProof. Well, they can go to the link in the description, callproof.com, to check it out. And I think you're offering a 14-day trial. Is that true?
Yeah, we have a 14-day trial. Always happy. If you ever wanted to email me and say, hey, listen, Robert, I sell plumbing supplies and I sell to plumbers in Nebraska. Give me a list of cities you want to serve. Let me load a database for you. I'll record a simple video for your sales team. And if you love it, come join us. And I'd love to help grow your sales.
Awesome. Where's the best place people can get a hold of you? Is it your email? And if so, what is that?
It's robert@callproof.com.
robert@callproof.com. Very cool. Robert, it's been a really great conversation of sales and sales leadership and energy and personal growth and everything that has to do with CallProof. And it's been a pleasure having you on the show, my friend. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Brandon. Thanks for having me.
We talked about a lot here. Everything that has to do with sales, managing your sales team, leading your sales team, but not managing them as the people, as the entity, but managing their energy. And the number one way to manage their energy is by focusing on your own, by growing yourself in whatever area of life that looks like. And as you know, that's what we talk about here on the broadcast. Any way to help you achieve self-mastery and live an extraordinary life. And CallProof is an incredible tool that will help your team of salespeople out in the field to visit more of your ideal clients, sign more businesses, help them be more efficient, as well as to give you an idea of what's going on, right? To help you understand just how efficient your sales team is so that you can create a greater impact with your products and your services. Again, it's at callproof.com. Link is in the description. You can also contact Robert directly at robert@callproof.com. I hope you took away a lot from this episode. I know that I did. Several books were dropped. We had some names that were dropped with Jim Rohn and Tony Robbins and all these big names. So if you found any value, please share this show with one person who could use it as well. A salesperson, a sales leader, a business owner, or just someone who wants to manage their own energy and make a difference in their own life. You're the reason our show has grown to the heights that it has grown, and coming on 1 year in a few months, which is incredible what we've seen in the past year. And it's because you are part of the team. So I hope that we're helping you to manage your energy so that you can make an impact on people in your life. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. And until we talk again next time, continue to be better.